I want to preach tonight, God willing, on Moses, a type of Christ. And I'm going to do that again next week. But look what it says here in verse 15, Deuteronomy 18, 15. Moses is speaking now. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hearken. Down in verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet. Now God's speaking now. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And listen to this, and it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Now, I am Haldeman said some things about Moses. Moses was a man. He was a man. Our Lord Jesus Christ was both God and man. But Moses was a man. He's mightily, mightily used of God. God called him. God himself called him. And when you read the scriptures, he's spoken out throughout the scriptures. He's mentioned in the prophets. He's also mentioned several times in the New Testament. In fact, the Jews said, you know, when our Lord opened a blind man's eyes, he said, you want to be his disciples? He says, we have Moses. We're Moses' disciples. And then you find that Moses mentioned twice in Hebrews. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he told those people, he said, if you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me. Because Moses wrote of me. So Moses is a well-known figure in the scriptures. And he appeared. He appeared with Elijah on the mount. You remember when our Lord was transfigured. And they, Moses and Elijah, met with the Lord Jesus Christ there on that mountain. And they've come to talk with him about what his death would accomplish. Elijah and Moses, the law and the prophets, speaking about what the death of Christ would accomplish. So that shows you that the law and the prophets both speak of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I tell you what, and there's many, many ways. I've got 20-something tonight. I don't know if I get through all of them or not, but I'll try to get through as many as I can. There are many, many ways in which this remarkable man is a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, he's a type of our Lord Jesus in his nationality. Moses was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. He is an Israelite. And Christ, he was a Jew. In fact, you can trace his genealogy two ways through the scriptures. When God told Abraham, thy seed shall be a blessing to all nations. Paul told us in Galatians that seed is one seed. That seed is Christ. So he came through the genealogy of Abraham. He is that seed. He is that seed. And then he's also a king. Well, so then he comes through the David line, the line of King David, because he is of the tribe of Judah, and he was the son of David and the son of Abraham. How can that be? Because God said he would be. As a son of Abraham, God promised that through all him, all nations of the earth would be blessed, and through Christ, all nations of the earth are blessed. And God promised David that he'd put a king on his throne that would sit on that throne for everlasting and everlasting. Well, David is dead and buried. Christ lives on as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Huh? So there's a big difference in the two, but yet they're both Israelites. And then when his birth, when he was born, he was born under a heathen king, Pharaoh, a man who despised God, hated God, didn't know God from nothing. He's born under the rule of a heathen king, a Gentile king. And that's the way our Lord Jesus, when he was born, the Jews were in bondage to the Roman Empire. In fact, they told, when they was fixing to crucify Christ, said, "He makes himself to be a king, and we have no king but Caesar." But our Lord Jesus Christ, born under Caesar, under a heathen king. And I tell you, Herod was a heathen king. And then the third thing that he's a type of our Lord Jesus Christ is his person. Is his person. It tells us in Exodus 2 and also in Acts chapter 7. Let's keep this and look in Acts chapter 7. This will be a blessing to you. Look in Acts chapter 7. We're talking about Moses. Look what it says about Moses now. And I think it's 7:20. Acts chapter 7, verse 20. You know, his person. Look what it says here in verse 20 now. In which time Moses was born, and look what it says, and was exceeding fair. The margin says, fair to God. And was nourished up in his father's house 3 months, and was cast out, and Pharaoh's daughter took him in. But he was a fair child. He was fair to God. And his mother saw that he was a goodly child. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was born, his blessed person was so glorious. His blessed person was so blessed to God the Father that when he was born, angels sit down to announce his birth. Angels came and sang praises to him. Angels came and sang at the birth of the blessed Son of God. And I tell you what, they wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger while the angels were singing. And I tell you what, you could hear them singing. And they said this, "Glory to God in the highest. For unto us, or unto you," they don't need a Savior, "unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Who is he? He's Christ the Lord. Oh, listen. How fair you reckon he was to God? Never been a human being on the face of this earth. Not a human being on the face of this earth that God ever said, "I love." There's nobody that he pleases me. Never said that about Moses. Never said it about Adam. Never said it about anybody. Never said it about Daniel. Never said it about Jeremiah. Never said it about anybody. The only person that God ever said his approval on and said, "I love him and I'm well pleased in him and I give him all the praise and I'll do everything under heaven for him." And that's his blessed son. He never bragged on anybody but his son. And listen, we read over there, said this prophet, if you don't listen to what he says, it's going to cost you. That's what he said, going to cost you. And then I tell you, let's talk about how they were as infants, as babies, as babies. Pharaoh sent out this edict because they was having too many men children and they thought that they would get too powerful and they would take over because they were slaves. And he sent out this edict, said, every woman who has a male child, take him and throw him in the river and drown him. Moses was born. You know what happened? His mother hit him. Oh my. And I tell you what, he meant to kill him. But when, if God be for you, who can be against you? Pharaoh can't be against you. Satan can't be against you. Nobody can be against you if God be for you. And then our Lord Jesus Christ, when He was born, and they talked about He as a king born, a king was born this day. And all Herod heard that, and he said, oh, and there were some men leaving Jerusalem, they was going to go down there, and they was going to go down and worship this child. And remember, they followed that star and went to where he was. And Herod told him, says, when you find him, when you go there, you come send word back to me and tell me where he is so I can go down and worship him. Well, the scripture says they went out another way. Do you know what Herod did? He said, I want you to go down to Bethlehem and I want you to kill every child that's under 2 years old. Why? Because I'm the king and I ain't going to have no rivals. You think, huh? It hurts us to think about some mother walking off and leaving their child or murdering their child. Here's a man that had hundreds and hundreds of children killed just because he wanted to get one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Revelation it says that woman brought forth that man child and that great dragon stood there to devour him. But God said He sent him into the wilderness. Oh my. And there's the fifth thing about them being, Moses being a type of Christ. His adoption. You see, he was in his father's house for 3 months. You put him in this little ark and sent him out in the ocean, and sent him out in the river, and Pharaoh's daughter went down there and found him. So she adopted him, took him into her home and treated him as her son. And so that tells us that he was adopted. But that he was adopted. Now he had a mother. But in Pharaoh's house he didn't have a father. And our Lord Jesus Christ in his virgin birth, he was the Son of God. Born into the world. He had a mother. But he didn't have no father. But Joseph took him and treated him as his own son. Huh? Oh my. And they said, this is Joseph's son. No, he's God's son. But Joseph said, he's my son. And I tell you, then in his childhood. Now, like I said, he was a Hebrew. Moses was a Hebrew. He is a Jew. And his childhood was spent in Egypt. He's brought up in Egypt. Brought up in Pharaoh's house. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ was sent into Egypt too. Look with me in Matthew chapter 2. We don't need Deuteronomy anymore. We look in Matthew chapter 2. Look over here in Matthew 2 and see. And our Lord Jesus Christ was sent into Egypt. Do you know that? You know why he was sent into Egypt? Because Herod was sitting down there to kill all those children. Moses spent his childhood in Egypt. Christ spent his childhood in Egypt. Look what it said here in verse 13. Excuse me, in verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they depart into another country, another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek to destroy that young child. And so you see, they both spent their youth in Egypt, in Egypt. And then the scripture says that God called his son up out of Egypt. Here's another thing. Moses had great, great compassion for Israel, for his brethren. They were his brethren. He had great compassion for Israel. In fact, the scripture tells us that he saw a Jew and an Israelite fighting one day, and that Jew was mistreating that Israelite, that Egyptian was mistreating that Jew so badly. But Moses intervened. And he killed that Egyptian. Buried him. Because he sees his people being mistreated. Well, you're talking about compassion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot tell how compassionate he was. He was so compassionate that he looked out over Jerusalem one day, standing up on the mountain, looked down on Jerusalem, and he began to weep. Tears run down that holy face. Tears run down those cheeks and dripped off his chin onto his clothes as he wept over Jerusalem. Said, how often would I have gathered you? How often? And I tell you what, and he came to save spiritual Israel and some of natural Israel. And our Lord Jesus, one time he saw a multitude. And they, he said, and he had compassion on them, for they were sheep as without a shepherd. And they had been following him. And he said, set them down in companies. He was so compassionate that he fed 5,000 people with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He didn't even want to see people go hungry. Oh my. And I tell you, Moses had an early knowledge of his calling. His scripture says that he supposed that his brethren, this happened again, he went to keep this Egyptian from hurting this Jew, this Hebrew. He went down to stop him. And it troubled them. They said, oh, who made you a judge over us? But he knew his calling. He supposed that his brethren knew that God sent him to deliver them. And our Lord Jesus Christ, this is a message in itself. They had been down to Jerusalem to worship, and they all turned around and left. And the scripture said over in Luke 2, and they supposing that Jesus was in their company, they went 3 days' journey, went looking for him, and he wasn't there. You let one of your kids be lost for 3 days, and you'd get a tizzy. Everybody knows here what a tizzy is, don't you? But they'd be in a tizzy. Well, I tell you what, they went back and found him. And that's what so many people, they go their whole lives supposing that Jesus is with them. And they get in the end of the way and they look, where's he at? He's not with them. But they went back to find him. You know what they found him doing? There was this, all these smart men, all these doctors, all these rabbis, all these lawyers, all these people knew the law. He's 12 years old, he's sitting there and they're questioning him. The scripture said he confounded them. And his mother's come and said, oh, what have you done? He said to her, wished you not that I be about my father's business. 12 years old. He knew exactly what he was come into this world to do. Oh my. And then, oh, Moses' condescending grace. Oh, he condescended. He was legally the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he regarded those Hebrew slaves as his brethren. Here he comes out of the palace. He comes out where he's waited on hand and foot. Where he is somebody. And he sees all these Hebrew slaves. And he condescends and says, these are my brothers. These are my brethren. Huh? And when he was fully come to age, he said, I'm going to go out and see my brethren. Moses is not my family. These are not my family. These are my family. These are my brethren. And our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what he says about us? He's a brother born for adversity. Our Lord Jesus Christ has said he's not ashamed to call us brethren. And he's saying praises unto the church by his brethren. Now, I tell you, how you like to be the Lord Jesus Christ, brother? He's not ashamed to call us his brother. Not ashamed. I've done a lot of things to shame him. But he's not ashamed to call me brother. Not ashamed to call you brother. And then, oh my, you got to see this. Look over in Hebrews 11. Look at his renunciation. Hebrews 11. Moses' renunciation. And this is talking about our Lord. But look over here in Hebrews 11, verse 24. Here in Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather, I told you he went out there to see his brother, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt. So I tell you what, he renounced everything. He renounced, I'm not Pharaoh's daughter. Son, I'm not Pharaoh's son. Well, you'll be rich. I don't care about them riches. I'd rather have Christ. Well, you're going to suffer. You're going to be reproached. I'd rather do that to be numbered among the Lord's people. These are my people. And our Lord Jesus Christ, look what it says about him in Philippians 2. You're talking about somebody that come down. Moses just renounced an earthly thing. Christ came down from heaven. Look in Philippians 2 with me. Christ came down from heaven. He identified with us. You think Moses suffered with the people of God and the reproach of God? Christ bore all of our reproaches. And though he was rich, he became poor. And they would make him king, but he wouldn't let them. But look what it says here in Philippians 2, in verse 6. Christ, who being in the form of God. Now what does that mean? That he was God manifest in the flesh. God cannot be seen. Moses endured to see him who is invisible. God, Christ was God. He took on the form of God. He was God. God could be seen in Christ. And the only God we'll ever see when we get to heaven is Christ. So he being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's one thing they accused him of. And they picked up stones to stone him and said, he makes himself to be one with God. He's not one with God, he is God. And he never ever took anything from God as a man. Never robbed God of any glory. In fact, he glorified him. And this, listen to this now. This is something that human nature don't know nothing about right here. And made himself of no reputation. And we live our whole lives trying to establish a reputation. Don't we?
Yeah.
We do. We live to establish a reputation. And there's nothing wrong with it. You don't want people to think you're a sorry person, a no good person, a dishonest person, a thief. You don't want no people to think about that. So we live our lives trying to build up a character that people maybe not will admire, but they'll have some respect for. To have some integrity, some scruples, some principles. But our Lord Jesus Christ, if you talk about anybody that had a reputation, he could have made himself a reputation. He could have walked all over and said, look what I just done. Look what I'm doing. Look what I'm accomplishing. But oh no, that's not what he did. What did he do? He took upon himself the form of a servant. Oh my. He got down to do. He waited on other people. He even washed his disciples' feet. Took upon him the form of a servant. He is in the form of God. And when it says that he took upon him the form of a servant, that means he emptied himself. He laid aside his glory. Laid aside that was with him, that would distinguish him from everybody else as a man. And then look what it says. Not only did he take upon him the form of a servant, but he made in the likeness of men. When you saw him, you saw a man. And then look there. Then being in fashion as a man, you look at him, man, touch him, handle him. Look what he done now. He humbled himself and became obedient. Moses just went down to his brethren. Christ humbled himself. God humbled himself. God, who raised the dead, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh my. You're talking about renouncing. He renounced himself. He renounced himself. Then Moses was rejected of his brethren. He went out there to join himself to his brethren. He was rejected of his brethren. When he went out to help them one day, one of them pushed him away. And said, "Leave me alone. Who made you a judge and a ruler over us?" And that's what they said about Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. And they said, "We'll not have this man to reign over us. We'll have no king but Caesar." And then, I'll tell you what, and then he went and lived among the Gentiles. Moses went and lived among the Gentiles. You know what he did? He fled. He fled. Where did he flee to? Fled unto Midian. Moses had to flee. And he went and lived among a bunch of heathens, about a bunch of Gentiles like us. And when our Lord Jesus Christ was rejected of the Jews, you know what the Scripture said, and Simon Peter preached this on the day of Pentecost. God did at first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for His name. Who did He visit them with? He visited them in Christ. He came down and visited. I heard Henry Mahan preach a message on this one time. When God visited, the visitation of God, when God came down and visited a bunch of heathens like us, why would He come and visit us? He said, "I've got a people among them. And I got to take me out of people from among that bunch of heathen." That's what he did. Huh? Oh my. And then Moses, when he got to where he was going, you know what the first thing he did? He found a well and sat down on a well. Found him a well, sat down on a well. Hoping that somebody would say, "Would you come home with me?" And you know, and then he sat down on a well. And then he met his wife at that well. Met that well. Sat down on a well. Far, far away from all of his brethren. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, he must needs go through Samaria. And being wearied with his journey, sat down on a well. The difference is, Christ could give you life, Moses couldn't. Christ is a gift, the law's not, and Moses is not. Oh my. Set thus on the well, then we're with his journey. And you know what Moses did after he got over there where he was? He married a woman of Midian, and his father-in-law's name was Jethro. And you know what Moses did for 40 years? He was a shepherd for 40 years on the backside of the desert. I wonder how many sheep he lost. But our Lord Jesus Christ is called the Good Shepherd. And he said he laid down his life for his people. And you know what he said about my sheep? I'm not going to lose one of them. Nobody's going to take a sheep from me. I tell you, there's not one of my sheep will ever be lost. No wolf's going to get them. No false prophet's going to get them. No wolf in sheep's clothing's going to get them. Sin's not going to get them. Death ain't going to get them. Hell ain't going to get them. They're mine, and I ain't nobody going to get them. That's a pretty good shepherd, ain't it? Ain't going to lose no sheep. Oh, my. And then Moses had years of obscurity. Years of obscurity. 40 years. Moses spent 40 years on the backside of the desert before he was brought back down to Egypt to deliver them. And our Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, he was hidden away in Nazareth working with his father in a carpenter shop. Huh? And you know what would it have been like to have been working with him? I've heard some people say some dumb things that I'm sure he got a splinter in his hand working with wood. That'd make imperfection. Well, I'm sure that he probably smashed his finger. That would be an imperfection. Right? That'd make him too much like us. But oh my. But oh, there he is working and they're watching him. I believe that he made the best cabinets, he made the best tables. Nobody could do the work that man could do. Perfect work. Is anything you think our Lord Jesus Christ ever did on this earth that wasn't perfect? People, you know, they want to make him out to be a man that could do this, that, and the other. But I'll tell you what, when our Lord Jesus Christ in his obscurity, I tell you, his work, if anything he did, was perfect. You couldn't find a flaw in it. And there's some men in here that can do some incredible work, incredible carpentry work. Gary Williams and I guess he's about the one. Oh yeah, Houston and Steve. Yeah, them. I'm sorry, Houston. You're pretty good one too. But anyway, y'all good at it, but it ain't never going to be perfect. As long as it suits you, that's all that matters. But oh, our Lord Jesus Christ. And nobody knew that this man working in that carpenter shop, except his mother, knew that he was ordained to be the great Redeemer and Savior of his people. Nobody didn't know that. He's over there working. He wasn't this little old sissified blonde-headed man that looks more like a woman than he does a man. Got these little old frail hands, you know, just soft hands. No. Our Lord Jesus Christ was much of a man. Much of a man. You know, he was a perfect man.
Amen.
Perfect man. And oh my. Then Moses was sent of God. Moses was sent of God. God, you know, there on the mountain in that burning bush come, God told him to draw near. And he said, I'm going to send you down to Pharaoh. And you're going to go down there and tell him to let my people go. And our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of God When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, man of the law. And then let me hurry. I tell you what, I'll never get to all of these. I just don't think I can get to all of them. And then His credentials. His credentials. Look at Moses' credentials. When he got down there to Egypt, God gave proof to Moses that He sent him, that He's going to send him. And He gave everybody else proof that He had sent Moses down there. Moses worked miracles. Moses worked wonders. Moses worked signs. Done great works while he was down there. Confounded all those magicians and wise men. And that's the way it was, our Lord Jesus Christ. The Word bears witness of Him. The works that I do bear witness of Me. My Father bears witness of Me. And they sent John. John's disciples went when he was in prison. And he said, go ask him, are he that should come, or should we look for another? He said, you go tell John that the dead are raised, the blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He said, this is my credential. Just look. Huh? And then Moses' first miracle. You know what Moses' first two miracles were? And the first sign that was ever given. That's why Jews always ask for a sign. Because Moses gave a sign. God gave him a sign. Moses' first two miracle was God gave him power over a serpent. He had that rod in his hand and said, lay it down there, throw it down. He throwed it down, it turned into a snake. He said, pick it up. He reached down and got it by the tail. Went right back to being a staff. Then he said, so he had power over the serpent. And then he said, stick your hand in your bosom. He did, and he pulled it out, and it was leprous. Stick it back in there, pull it out. It was clean. Clear. Two miracles. Cleanse leprosy. It had power over a serpent. Well, I tell you something. Our Lord Jesus Christ, you talk that old serpent. In Revelations, He's called Apollyon. He's called the serpent. He's called that great dragon. But I tell you something. Our Lord Jesus Christ had power over that serpent. He was tempted of that serpent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And what did He do with him? Whipped him and whipped him good. Huh? And I tell you, and you talking about power over leprosy. When the lepers come to Him and said, Lord, if You will, You can cleanse me. Our Lord said, I will. Be thou clean. Oh my. He healed us of it. He healed us of it. Oh my. Well, I tell you, I'm going to quit because I've had time's getting away from me. And I'll try to work these in next week. I've got 7 left. And I think I gave you enough tonight, you know. I don't want to founder you. I don't want to founder you. You know, I don't want to give you all the bread at one time. But I do, you know, I think I've said enough. I think you got the message that Moses was just a type. Just a type. But our Lord Jesus Christ is the reality. Huh? Our Father, again, we thank You for meeting with us. Oh, You're so gracious to us. So kind to us. So wonderfully condescending to come and meet with us. And we thank You for it. Bless You for it. Praise You for it. And Lord, we thank You for the scripture reading tonight. That was such a blessing to us. We thank You for it. Oh, how we thank You. Thank You for these, our brothers and sisters. For these homes. These hearts. God bless them. Lord, keep them. Bless them in the morning when they get up. Bless them in the evening when they come home. Bless them in their going in and going out. And do what we ask. And we only ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to